Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert, Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
The tombstones quake.
Spooks come out for a swinging wake.
Happy haunts materialize and begin to vocalize. Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Well, Disney makes it out like all ghosts are a good idea, but when it comes to employment, not so much. Have you ever heard of ghost jobs before? I have to confess, we have a brand new summer intern with us, UConn student Rhea, who is in studio, and I asked her if she's ever heard of a ghost job before. Have you?
Not really.
No, okay. So a ghost job is when you see like a post that tells you, you know, a generic kind of a job, but there's no time frame, like when we need to hire or kind of specifics to it. Now, is that a little more familiar?
Yeah.
Have you ever applied to any of those?
I feel like yes.
Yes?
For sure.
Really?
Yeah, definitely on like hiring platforms. I think a lot of people my age have also applied for jobs like that and heard nothing back.
Mm.
And it's crazy because you'll apply to like 30 of them at once. And then it's like you only hear back from like one or two.
Mm. So you got ghosted by those potential employers. Well, guess what? If you live in the city, or I should say the state of New York, that is now going to potentially be a problem for employers who post these ghost jobs. And that's where our career strategist Julie Bauke joins the show. New York passing a bill aimed at halting ghost jobs. So it subjects employers and third-party platforms to steep fines if their job posts do not include a time frame for if and when they expect the job to be filled. What do you think about that, Jules?
So we have heard that the term ghost has been used in the job market for a long time. I got ghosted, which generally implies I applied or I was interviewed several times sometimes and never heard back. It's also used on dating apps, and so the word is used a lot. But what this is saying is ghost jobs. Now, that means a job that is either left unfilled or never existed in the first place. So why would an employer do that?
Well, there it is. Let's get to the core of it, Julie. Yeah. I love it. Here's your investigative hat coming on. Why would you even post a job that doesn't exist or you didn't intend to fill? Why would you do that?
Well, on that, sometimes employers want to keep a healthy pipeline of applications coming in because maybe they know that's a high turnover position and that they will have openings and they want to get ahead of the game. Now, that is so frustrating to job seekers because they're applying and they're thinking this is a live and active job because it presents as a live and active job.
Mm-hmm.
But the intent behind it is, no, we just want to keep our coffers full of people so we don't have to go through this process in 30 days when someone quits.
That feels very sloppy seconds to me. I'm sorry.
Very sloppy. Yeah.
I don't like that.
There's another reason, which I was reading this, like, okay, why do people do this? And this is the one that makes me go, huh? As a signal to current employees that their jobs aren't safe, they may be replaced. Like, that is so...
I hate that.
I hate that so much.
I hate that. That's the meanest thing you could ever do.
How common it is.
Ooh.
But then I also think there's some on boards that they were filled. The employer just never took them down. So they're
just
still
sloppy.
Up there.
Yeah.
Or it's sitting open, but it's so low on the priority list that the company may or may not get to it. Sometimes you post a job and then say, oh, well, the three people we have now, even though their heads are about to explode, they're doing just fine doing this job. We don't need to fill it. So it was interesting. One of the stats in this article said one in three job listings don't result in an actual hire. And they call that a ghost job economy. And that is when you have all these people out there looking for jobs and they're saying things like Rhea did, I'm applying to X number of jobs and I'm hearing nothing. It is because the systems are set up so that, especially if it's like a really attractive job in a really attractive industry or company, the number of applications they get is so large that they can't actually deal with it. And so they employ a no news is bad news method to their hiring process, which is, you know, don't call us, we'll call you, which if you're a job seeker, it's just, it's like you're screaming into the void. And so it's really frustrating. And what is so interesting, so why? So I look at these kind of things. I'm like, why can't we just do the right thing and not create another law? So New York has said, okay, so you have to say in your on your company website that's externally facing, like anything you post externally, not internally, or anything that you post on a job board or any recruiter that posts on a job board, you have to have on there, it has to say, you have to say when you expect the job to be filled. Or if it is just one of those that you're gathering resumes, you have to say it. You have to say, either say we don't expect it to be filled soon because, you know, we're in growth mode and we just want to keep, you know, we just want to keep in touch with the market. Or you have to say, if it is intended to be filled in 90 days, it must state this position is for a current vacancy and the employer intends to fill this position by X. If it's not to be filled in the next 90 days, then you have to say that as well. So really, this is about transparency and letting people know what to expect. And what was so interesting, like, this must really be a problem because I'm reading this. So Pennsylvania has already introduced an act, and I'm not sure. New Jersey introduced one in May. But there's actually an organization called truthinjobads.org.
Oh, wow. I see this. It's a grassroots effort.
What? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we don't have this in Connecticut, as far as I know. I'll double check that, but I've never heard of this in Connecticut.
Yeah. It's every job seeker who's listening to us right now is shaking their head like crazy. Like, yes, this has happened to me, and it's so. I get it. Employers are overwhelmed, but develop your process so that even if I apply online. And your process is no news is bad news. That's terrible. I'm sorry. These people are out there applying and they're really showing interest in your company. They're using their valuable time. At the very least, create a step in the process that says, we received it. We expect to move on this position in within 60 days. If you do not hear back from us by 60 days, then assume that the job has been filled. You know, something like that. You know, I mean, just at least say something. But the silence is deafening.
I've got my intern, Rhea, very busy. She's off to go do an interview. But I said, you have to hear the other side of this interview. She's like, send it to me. So it's interesting. Yeah. We're talking to Julie Bauke, who's our career strategist. She is going into her junior year at UConn. And what's interesting, Julie, is kind of blast from the past because you have a mind like an elephant, which I love about you. I got connected to Rhea. Do you remember intern Katie, who you talked to years ago?
Yeah.
So intern Katie goes to UConn and she's like, I have a broadcasting student who you know, has the same kind of passions I do. And she connected the two of us during the school year. And I was like, absolutely. Of course, I'll always take an intern who wants to get into this. But I was saying to Rhea, as she was, you know, explaining, oh, I've applied to jobs like crazy. And I thought, you know, she's got an amazing resume, accolades, all that great stuff. But she said, but I've literally heard back from two people out of maybe 30 different application processes she's gone through. And I said, well, I hate to say that Julie's about to give you the stuff that you really need. I'm going to send it to her later. But I feel like it. If anything, yes, you could pass laws all you want. And I think that that is effective, certainly. And you got to crack down on these job sites. And I think that's all well and good. And I think that's a good thing. But the other part of it is we have become so tech heavy. We've become so like, hey, you know what? I could just sit at home and for a whole afternoon, I can apply to 50 jobs and nobody answers back. And I think to myself, instead of sitting at home for 4 hours and do that, I'd rather you go to, for example, here in Connecticut tomorrow, Julie, we've got this Lower Valley Job Fair that's happening. It's a free event. It's 4 hours long and people can go and they can update their resume. They can do their headshots. There's going to be over 60 employers from Connecticut who are going to be there. And you can, if you don't want to land a job tomorrow, you don't have to, but you can go and just start networking and meeting people in different industries. I'd rather spend my 4 hours doing that than sending my resume out to 50 different, you know, sites.
Yes. And the reason people, yes, absolutely. So 2 out of 30 is not bad. I hate to tell you, but 2 out of 30, I'm sitting here going, okay, because that's how dismal it is. 2 out of 30 ain't bad. So she's doing all the right things by being there with you. All she has to do is connect and speak to everybody at the station ask questions about their jobs. And this is what, when you go to an event like you were talking about, I think people show up and they're like, here's my resume. What do you guys do? And they just show up like they're floating around hoping to be snatched out of the ether. But the truth is, you have to, when you go to an event like that, look at who's there, learn a little bit about the company, identify a number of companies out of the all the ones that are going to be there to stop by and have a chat with. What do you know about them? How might you be a fit? What do you bring to the table? What it is you're looking to do? Anything that smacks of, I just came because someone told me to, because Melissa told me to, and I just want a job, is such a turn off.
Mm.
It's like, this is counterintuitive. I just posted something about this on LinkedIn. This is counterintuitive. Casting a wide net seems to be the way to go, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Focus. Focus and intent is what is attractive in a candidate. You have to think from the other side of the desk. And so when you think from the other side of the desk, I want you to know that every time you hit submit, there's not someone waiting there just so pleased that you applied and they're so excited and they can't wait to talk to you. No, it's going into a system in which you are competing with everybody else who applied.
Mm.
And so you don't get a chance to stand out. And this is why person-to-person connections will always be preferable. Every place you go, talk to people, ask them about their careers. How did you get there? What do you like about it? What do you wish you'd known when you were my age? And this is what is attractive it's sort of like I know somebody he wants to write a book on how job search is like dating, and there are so many parallels, but just showing up and going, what do you do here? Will you hire me? Is just what?
Well, and it's, Rhea, so it's, no, so Rhea, yes.
Rhea's doing all the work. She's just by being there and soaking in and listening to you and being curious, she is doing the right things. It's going to lead her to the next thing, to the thing after that, to whatever her next internship. That's how you do it. One step, one chapter at a time.
Well, I think the other thing too, Julie, that you know, I love that you brought up the parallel of dating. Because think of it as, you know, one of the things that, I've never done online dating. I have, you know, siblings and friends who have, so I know it's effective. But I always think about the successful, you know, people who connect online. The reason they usually do is because they go deeper versus like, hey, I want somebody who is funny and attractive and, you know, has brown hair. I don't know. Versus, you know, hey, you know, where did you grow up? I grew up here and I had a single parent. Oh, that's crazy. You know, I lost my parent, you know, whatever. And again, I know that's, I just went to a really dark place. But it's, I think that it's, we kind of pigeonhole. And I think it's one of the biggest issues with colleges. Because not to bring Rhea up, but she said it was okay. When Rhea first, when she first interviewed with me, and I knew she was coming because Katie told me she was coming. When I first asked her, what do you want to do? What is your goal? What I loved about Rhea was she said, I don't know yet, but here are the things I really enjoyed doing. And I was like, okay. Oh, man, I go, you could be an engineer. You could be a producer. You could be, I said, you could go into television. You could go into press release writing. You could go into nonprofit work. And I realized that that is the way you should be answering when you talk to people as well and employers, potential employers, is your skill set, not the job title. That is one of the biggest things, I think, right? You know what I mean? Like, so I think the other part of this is not just networking, but also knowing that you're looking for where your skill set will thrive, not the job title. Because if Rhea had said to me, oh, I want to work in radio, I would have been like, you don't really know what you want to do. Because you know what I'm saying? And I think that that's another part of this, too, is really focusing on the skill set that you want to thrive off of, not the job title you think will fit you best.
Yeah, and I love the fact, give her a hug for me.
I will.
I love the fact that she said, I'm not sure yet, but let me tell you what I enjoy. So she didn't, I love the fact that it was a, here's me, and not saying, when you give a job title, you are locking yourself into whatever that person's experience is of a project manager mm-hmm. or a data analyst. But instead she's saying, here's what I enjoy. That opens the conversation up. That creates curiosity. That helps people say, oh, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And right now, being young, 20 years old or so, she should be a big sponge, learning what she can from people who've been there before her and so that she can take the best from all those conversations and apply it to her specific situation. So yeah. Yes, that is exactly how you do it. Sitting at home and applying online all day long is a losing deal, as you've heard me say a billion times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's true. And I think even when you go to, you know, networking events or job fairs, even to just go to the jobs you think fall under your major, for example, I think is a miss. I've learned more in this industry that I probably should have never gotten into broadcasting. If I didn't land this job, I've realized more in the 15 years as a reporter that there were so many other industries that I'm also so passionate about, whether it's education, environmental, advocacy work, whatever. And there are skills that I have here that, you know, when the broadcasting door closes, it's exciting because I know I can go outside of just the news industry or the broadcasting industry.
Right.
But I don't think we think about that when we even go to job fairs. We're like, oh, we've got to go under our major. No, you don't. You might find out that manufacturing actually works great for the skill set you have. You know what I mean? So even just exploring that is cool.
Yes. Don't tie. The more you get tied to your major, the more that I think you're limiting yourself. Most people who are 20, let's say 20 years into their careers, if you ask them what their major is, they'd say, oh, well, believe it or not, it's blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
It's unrelated.
Right.
And I love that. That is so exciting to me. I'm like, tell me more. How did you do it? How did you know? And it's out there and it's possible for all of us. You just have to have some confidence and some courage.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think this is an interesting conversation, the fact that New York passed, again, a bill to really tackle ghost jobs. And no, we don't have that here in Connecticut necessarily. I know other states are doing it. And there's a place for this, right? I mean, we should hold employers accountable because it's not fair and a lot of people rely on it. But it also leads to a bigger conversation, which is what could we do effectively to really land the job of our dreams besides just sitting online and applying to jobs endlessly? And I think that is kind of exercising that networking muscle. That's really what's going to get you more, I would say, closer to that job happiness that Julie talks about so much. Career strategist Julie Baukey, what in the world would we do without you? Thank you so much for this conversation. Can't wait to chat again next week.